This is Twit.
When Microsoft announced that they're going to put a buy now, pay later engine into my Edge, I finally said, that's enough.
Yeah.
This must end.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I this is one of the rare things I was kind of on board early with. 2 weeks ago, I wrote about this. Now that it has finally appeared in the stable version of Edge, the whole world has woken up to it. It's been reported everywhere. And I mean, not just tech publications like the Register, Ars Technica, Gizmodo, et cetera, but also the BBC, you know, mainstream publications too.
Yeah, because of course, when Windows 11, they kind of force you to use Edge unless you have are willing to take extreme unction.
Yeah, these are the two things. I'm glad you mentioned that. These two things to me are tied together. So Windows 11 makes it much harder to switch from your from Edge to another browser. In some cases, impossible. People have figured out workarounds, and Microsoft said, no, we're going to stop those workarounds. This is how we want it to work. And now Edge, which, you know, I don't know, how long ago was it? 2-3 years ago this month that they announced that they were switching Edge to Chromium. Spent the last couple of years developing it. Obviously, when a product is new, you have to spend a bunch of time adding new features to it, getting it up to par with the market leader, in this case, Google Chrome, and then also adding back some of those most used features from legacy Edge that people still really like. And fully support this. This notion of a version of Chrome that has all the Google stuff stripped out of it, and you use a Microsoft account in the back end, or now an AAD account, is very compelling to me as a Microsoft guy. I guess it would be. But the thing we've seen over the past year especially, and probably for longer than that, is just this kind of featureitis setting in, that the teamsification, if you will, of Microsoft Edge. And a lot of this stuff is super superfluous nonsense is what it is. And there's some indication that this buy now, pay later may, in fact, literally be malicious and have serious problems. It's not a Microsoft service. It's a third-party service.
Wait a minute. It's not even a Microsoft service. They just said to some third party, go ahead. Put your crap in our browser. What the hell?
So here's – okay, you have to forgive me for not remembering which publication did this. But Microsoft, in its blog post, said, you know, we don't get like a kickback on all of the buy now, you know, pay later sale. Like if you buy something, it's $1,000. Microsoft doesn't get like a dollar on the back end or something. What they didn't say, though, was, oh, but we do get paid in other ways. You know, like they're getting paid for this. So one publication actually asked them, well, okay, but are you getting paid in other ways? And they said, yeah, we don't have any comment on that.
Oh, in other words, and, yes.
Oh. Right. So this is a problem. It's a problem. Yeah. And you hate to see something good become something bad. I hate to see it happen so quickly, too. I mean,
I know. So. Today I shut off all shopping in Edge because I got a couple deals from having it. Like it would find a coupon
or say, you know.
But now I have to shut it off because there's so many intrusive things, like rewards are coming up in this, price trends over the past month. And
have you seen this one? I got one that said you can print out coupons on paper from this site.
Oh, wow.
Did you really?
Now we're like, talking. Yeah.
If you go to Target.com, you'll see that.
Now that I'm 65, I think I'm going to print out all my coupons and bring them to Denny's in the store.
Put them in an envelope.
So, Ken, is it possible to turn this off in such a way that it's really not there? Like, they're not collecting data? It doesn't bother you? Is it like an extension? Can you remove it?
It's not an extension, right? It's like built in.
Yeah, it's built in. Well, like the shopping features are built in. You can toggle these things off. Right. The problem is...
What's next? Payday loans? You got to cry out loud.
That's so I in a private conversation with Raphael, that's what I compared it to. You know, we had gone to this town called Reading, Pennsylvania. Most places in Pennsylvania are pretty, even if they're a little downtrodden. Reading is not one of those places. It's like the one place we went to, it was like there were four Bales Bondsman store, like storefronts in one block, and then payday loan places.
So I was like, Reading right there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but... It used to have, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's on the way out. But, you know, Microsoft Edge has turned into the Reading, Pennsylvania browsers. You know, it's sad.
Wow.
I know.
There's their new marketing slogan.
I don't know who should be more insulted by that, Reading or Microsoft. Wow.
By the way, if you Google Reading, Pennsylvania, you'll find that the top searches are, is Reading, Pennsylvania the poorest place in the United States? Oh. Is Reading, Pennsylvania the ugliest city in the United States?
Did it used to be a steel town? What was it? What happened?
It wasn't
to
a
Reading?
Steel town.
It was a mill town?
Yeah, it was something else. I don't remember. Hmm. Or maybe it was a steel town. It was something like that. It was it was one of those towns that had, I think it was just a nexus. By the way, Reading, now that we're on the subject, Reading, Pennsylvania is the Reading Railroad of.
Yes. It was a railroad town.
Yeah. No, it used to be a big railroad thing. Yeah. So Reading, the railroad.
Oh, coal.
Reading was.
Yeah, yeah. Transporting anthracite coal from the Pennsylvania coal region.
Using trains.
To the eastern
right,
United
probably.
States. Yep. On the Reading Railroad.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't steel for some reason. But so Reading eventually was sold, and that train conglomerate is gone. Anyway, there's nothing there anymore. There's a nice theater where you can see a concert, and there's a good little Irish restaurant. But mostly, there's not a lot going on there. Anyway, let's get off of Reading. I don't mean to insult Reading, but
it's a nice town. They just gone through a tough time.
Yeah, they are the 20th century. So,
exactly. Back in 1825, when they finished the Schuylkill Canal, man, things were happening.
Civil War days. That place was
hot,
bopping. Yeah. Anywho. I don't even remember what I was talking about. So,
you were just saying the Edge is turning into the Reading PA of browsers, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bail bondsman on every corner now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, here's the thing. The argument I would make, and I have made actually, would be that if Microsoft wants to add this functionality to its browser, it should these should be extensions. And if they're extensions, they can be brought to any browser. So if this is a useful feature that someone might want, they might want it even if they're using Chrome, or whatever. Mm. The other approach, and this is the thing I think I brought up 2 weeks ago when this first came up, was, you could have a screen right at the beginning and says, hey, Edge offers all this great functionality. Which of these do you want? They could all be on by default, but you could, before you even open the browser, you could say, no, I don't want shopping. No, I don't want buy now, pay later. No, I don't want whatever. And of course, Microsoft would never do what I just described. It's trying to, get you to use these services. but I think when you clutter a thing up, a product in this case or whatever, with too much junk, people eventually just get irritated by it and they go away. It's like the way the widgets interface in Windows 11 was like that. It's, we joked about Halle Berry a couple of weeks ago or whatever. Like, there's just too much stuff about bikinis and women and short skirts and blah, blah. And it's like, how many times do I have to tell you I don't want to see this? And apparently the answer is infinite times because it never really goes away. Mm-hmm. And I just turn it off. And I think a lot of people have that reaction. So it's kind of the opposite of what Microsoft was shooting for.
Do you think they've turned into the poorest company and on the internet, and maybe they just need the money now? And
you mean the biggest company in the world? that's what makes this weird.
It's all about ads and Bing, isn't it? I mean, that's what this point comes back to every single time. They want to become a bigger advertising business. That's what they want to do.
Stop it. Is this Google envy? By the way, Apple's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I was literally just thinking this exact thing. That's exactly right. Microsoft has long suffered from a case of Apple envy, and obviously they suffer from Google envy as well. It's understandable. I mean, this is, Google, it's understandable, but it's still terrible, and someone mature should say no. I mean, Google, I don't remember the exact number, but every quarter I look at their earnings statement, and every quarter advertising is some 80-something percent of their revenues. Yeah. And if advertising didn't exist, neither would Google. All those enterprise services, all the search, the photos, the Android, everything they do, none of it could exist. The only thing that makes money there is advertising. It's an advertising company. Mm-hmm. Even if Microsoft made 10% of what Google does on ads, it would be a huge advertising company.
It would.
And I know they look at consumer-facing products like Windows and Edge and whatever else, and they say, how can we strip mine this as much as we can? Not to beat the Reading, Pennsylvania thing to death, but they started adding advertising to Windows back in 2012 with Windows 8. And it's a slippery slope.
You know, I never found those ads that offensive because I never even noticed them. Like you notice them a lot more than I notice them. This is a whole other thing because when you're using Edge and you're on a shopping site, it's not like a little thing shows up, a small ticker. It comes down and it takes up like a third of my screen, right? I'm like, I can't even see what I'm doing.
It's not so much that I noticed them, 9 years ago or whatever. It's that I became aware of them. And my appraisal at the time was, You don't make these little incursions and stop. Mm-hmm. You keep going, and it gets worse and worse over time. You know, Samsung found itself in some hot water over the last year. People spend $1,300 on a new Note or a new S1 21 Ultra or whatever it is, and their apps have ads in them, you know?
Yeah.
Samsung's apps, I mean. So the mm-hmm. Samsung feed, whatever that piece of junk is called, has ads all over the place in it. And a lot of users were like, what are you doing? We paid a lot of money for this product, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, in Microsoft's case, by the way, those ads are gone, right? So Samsung finally woke up. In Microsoft's case, I'm sure someone will make the point or argue that, well, you just got Windows 11 for free. What are you complaining about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can get Chrome for free too, or Brave, or yeah. Firefox, or whatever. And look, none of these browsers are perfect. They all have whatever issues they have. But this is just so in your face and so awful. There's a Pluto TV ad in the What's New in Edge screen that comes up when you upgrade the browser.
I mean, Pluto's fine, but why? I don't want that.
Exactly. Why would you diminish this product like this? You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, and we heard, Paul and I got a note on Twitter the other day from somebody who said when he clicks on the new tabs page in Edge, it shows your most frequently used apps along that the bottom of that page. Mm-hmm. He's now seeing apps he's never used show up in that list.
Oh, so they're selling real estate too.
Right.
They do the same thing in Windows, right? So if you open the Windows 11 start menu, you'll see icons for things like Spotify or PixArt.
Yeah. Disney Plus, all the things you don't even have, right?
You don't even have them. So they're just stubs. And those are basically advertising spots. So you click on that, the store launches, and then you can install it. Thank God it doesn't just auto-install. Well, actually, maybe it does auto-install. I think it goes to the store. But it's just these little... I think it's... Aside from just the general terribleness of such things... It's the sly way they do it. Because I think a lot of average users would click on a Spotify icon and think, well, maybe I installed that.
I know. And I just saw TikTok on mine. I'm like, did I install TikTok? And then I'm like, no, I didn't.
No, they do this in Windows 10 as well.
I guess then we must ask the meta question. Right? Why? And I think the answer is because you don't have any. So what? I left Windows a long time ago for Linux just because I can't take this. Yeah. Right. And I think Microsoft's attitude is, well, most people use Windows because they have to, and too bad. Which is...
Yeah, I don't think that's how PR would describe it.
No, but that's sad. Clearly, that's what's going on.
Yeah, and also that assuming normal people won't understand that they cannot... have to have it.
Oh,
that
yeah, yeah.
Way, right?
That's a key part of the strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that people don't understand they have other choices.
You mean other operating
systems?
Turn
things off.
Yeah, yeah. Or no.
Well, or
and
other browsers. Or other,
or
whatever.
Or even just to do what we just were saying, click on the icon that you see and get rid of it, right? And they don't even know. They're like, oh, I guess I have that app. But other stuff pops up.
I mean, it's... There really isn't a way to remediate it. I think they must assume either one of two things. Normal people don't care, or normal people have no choice.
Right.
And that's part of what, you mentioned this earlier, Leo, this system they have in Windows 11 of making it very hard or now impossible to switch default browsers is designed to thwart the next level of people. Because there are people who do know. There are people who want another browser. And in Windows 10, you could install, Chrome or Firefox or whatever. It would try to make you stay on Edge, but if you click no, and off you went, and everything would go through that browser. So in Windows 11, they said, well, let's be a little sneaky, and we'll make it really hard. So if you really want to use Chrome, you got to sit there tediously and go through a giant list of, document types and protocols and whatnot. And even then, they're going to slyly run Edge in the background, access MSN, access Bing. Because it's all part of a churn where they're trying to generate revenues in kind of a googly fashion, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah. I meant to ask you this, Paul. Have you done anything like a cheat sheet for people who get Windows 11 and just to kind of warn them, like, if you want to use Chrome, here's what you need to select when you're setting this up.
All right, so two things. I wrote an article very early on about the default app thing with browsers and explained what you had to do to make that happen. Now, and I also have written about things like Edge Deflector. And the problem is in some coming version of Windows 11, whether it's something that ships midstream or next fall or whatever it is, they're going to really, literally bypass that stuff. That's terrible. The other issue is the book, right? So I'm sure some people, I'm sort of working on a Windows 11 book. Where is it? Well, part of the problem is Windows 11 shipped in October in a very incomplete state. And I don't want to just keep updating this over and over and over again. So I'm trying to wait in some ways to see how this kind of thing kind of clears out. I'm expecting and hoping, maybe is the wrong word, but before next fall, sometime in the spring or something, there'll be like a cumulative update that adds a bunch of stuff and makes some changes. Maybe this browser stuff will change, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of the things I wrestle with are there are ways to get around installing Windows 11 on unsupported hardware. And now this browser thing has entered that same area. Is this something I should be covering in the book? And I think the answer has to be yes. You know, I have to.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
the problem is Microsoft keeps changing the rules, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, we had this conversation maybe August, September timeframe, whatever it was. You know, what if I install Windows 11 on a seventh generation Intel processor or whatever? Mm-hmm. And my answer at the time would have been, look, they're never going to stop giving you security updates. That's insane. But then since then, you see some of the things they've done, some of the things they've said. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't know. I think it's all up for grabs. I don't know that we can trust these guys to do the right thing in any instance. And to Leo's point, you have to go to why. Why? This company used to be, I'm talking like 2 weeks ago, the shining light in big tech, right? The one big tech company you could kind of trust. You know, and they've been that way for a while. And I feel like, at least on the client side, they're kind of eating away at that trust by doing things like this. It's too
so,
bad.
Somebody in the Discord made a point. JT said, for a contrarian point of view, I'd rather see these Windows 11 ads than for Microsoft to go back to charging $100 for Windows. We're getting Windows for free now. Is that why
they always got Windows? No, that we always got Windows for free. So the issue was, people used to buy more computers, right? Or more computers were sold.
That's how you would get your next version of Windows.
People were not buying. No one was. I mean, I don't mean no one literally, but people were not going into a Best Buy, buying a box, bringing it home, installing it. Yeah, that didn't really happen that much. Mm-hmm. Not since like Windows 95. I mean, the instances in which something like that happened, I think it's probably a linear line down to nothing since then. You know, here's the thing: like, if Microsoft decides. Microsoft decided to give away Windows 11, right? This wasn't in response to user feedback or anything. Like, Microsoft didn't come out and say, look, we could charge $50 for it, or you'll get this thing that's full of crap, where junk you don't need, we're going to clog up internet or Microsoft Edge. You can choose between. They didn't give us a choice. This was their business strategy. I mean, this is, I think they understood that if they relied on people to get this with new computers or charged individuals $50 a pop or whatever the number might be, that no one would do it, you know, that the uptake would be a lot slower. So that was their decision. I think by and large, most people weren't paying for Windows per se. I mean, it was included in the cost of the computer you purchased for sure.
Yeah.
So the savings were.
Yeah, but it wasn't $100 more, or maybe it was. I don't know.
Whatever. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, you know, Microsoft charged a certain price per license, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the Discord saying, I remember paying $159 to upgrade, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, that was a time when that was a thing, right?
But people didn't do that for sure. For the most part.
No, you guys did it. We did it. We're in the tech enthusiasts.
The people listening to the show did it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nope. I've never did that. I never had purchased an upgrade, ever.
Oh, interesting.
Right. I used to purchase multiple versions just so I could write about the experience.
Yeah, you had to.
Because
it was
part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I stayed on it as long as my PC still worked, and it was fine. I never felt the need to get the new version.
Right. That's a curiously normal outlook on life, Mary Jo.
It is, right?
So that's why I'm here
to balance the perspectives. Right?
Balance the crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't believe that Microsoft thinks about it the way we're talking about it. Like, because we make this free now, we can do whatever we want to junk up the operating system. I don't think they think that, you know, like, now we can offset the cost by showing you ads. I don't think that's why they're doing it. I think the reason they're doing it is to try to build up Bing advertising and usage of the Bing and search engine, right? I don't think it's because that makes them money by doing that. They're hoping somewhere down the line, if they have enough people using and seeing Bing ads that it will offset the cost, right?
But you have to, I agree, I think you're right, but Microsoft has to balance the impact of the user experience on the user experience when they make these changes, you know. It's incredible to me. Like, I keep bringing this up, but, you know, we have these they're off the record conversations, I guess they're called it. Not attributable to a specific Microsoft spokesperson, right? Well, they'll tell us stuff. You know, we talk and they say things and you come away feeling pretty good about it. But, you know, when Windows 11 was coming out in early October, someone, not me or you, someone brought up from another publication, I don't remember who it was, the issue we were all wondering about, which was this unsupported thing and what are you going to do? And, you know, someone brought up default apps and how complicated it was. They were shocked to discover that we thought this was malicious. No, we're good people. We'll look into that. Don't worry. We're going to fix it. And then a couple of weeks go by, or a month or whatever it was, and then they're like, no, we're doing that on purpose. and we're going to make it worse. So thanks for bringing it up. You know, they actually went on record and said something like that. I mean, that's just a paraphrase, obviously, but it's depressing. You know, Mary Jo and I have covered Microsoft for what feels like 100 years between us, and there are obviously periods of time, big, huge swaths of time, where this was a pretty terrible company, you know? Yeah. And I went through some awful moments during the antitrust stuff. The more you learn about their business practices in the 1990s, I mean, the less you want to have anything to do with this company. So there's been some ups and downs. But I feel like the last several years, we'll call it the Satya Nadella era or whatever, has been largely positive. Not just from a Wall Street, you know, cloud computing perspective, but just that Microsoft seems like a good corporate citizen. You know, they say all the right things about recycling and the environment and climate change, and their data centers are going to be run net zero and blah, 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 whatever. Mm. And great, you know. And they're not as terrible as Apple or Amazon or Facebook or Google. They're not. But man, they're trying real hard to be that terrible, aren't they? It just feels like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah. I know. I'm very curious if this, it's not like a groundswell of a pushback or like people all coming out publicly and saying, okay, that's it, I'm not going to use Edge. But I'm curious if this negative publicity does have any impact or doesn't, or if they just go, you know what, most people aren't going to care or know how to fix this, and we're just going forward. That's too bad. Too bad, everybody.